Galatians chapter 5. But I tell you this, it's not about rear end sitting in here this afternoon or even this morning. It's not about a packed house. And we do want more people to be saved, and we want them to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the plowing, the planting, the watering, and the waiting. It's the waiting. And that's always the hard part. Galatians chapter 5, let's read verses 22 through 26, and that'll be our text. How to know if we're walking in the Spirit. How to know if we're walking in the Spirit. That's the title of this afternoon's message. Galatians 5, verse 22, very familiar with many of you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, telemessage, how to know if we're walking in the Spirit. It's interesting, the fruit of the Spirit, there are nine of them. How many remember how many works of the flesh that I went through last Sunday? 17. Who did somebody know 17? Did you know 17? And then, in fact, if you look at the top, at verse 21, it's at the top of my Bible. So it says, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. 17 and more. So the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want you to understand this. Let's look at verse 24, 25, and 26. It'll kind of give the umbrella of what we're going to talk about this morning, or this afternoon. And he says, but they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We have crucified, past tense, but we also mortify the flesh daily. So we are dead to sin now that we're alive in Christ. And it's the affections and lust. What do we love? We have to submit that and surrender that to the Lord. Now look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit. Here's the reality of every believer in this room. You live in the Spirit. That's the only way you have new life, is in the Spirit, through the Spirit. You live in the Spirit, right? So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, it's this slippery thought of what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means that our minds, our thoughts, our focus, our just domination is on the things of God, that we're meditating on the things of God. I'm just going to mention it here. Todd, I need you to send that email to me, and I want you to put it in really nice writing. I'm going to send it to the entire church. I thought it was that good. I've used it in several Bible studies, and they're like, wow. It's the thing about the oceans. Were you wondering what I was talking about there? It's like I could tell you're like, you're not sure which email. Not those others, but no. That email, and so what it is Todd heard some of our guys talking, and it was, Ron, when you mentioned, he doeth all things well, right? And you pondered that for the day. Well, they were down, and he was rubbing it in while he was gone. They were down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and they were just down there with the ocean waves and all of this, and I'm going to forward this, so write it as though you want them to see it. So Todd is very good at writing. That's what everybody told me that I showed it to. I was in a couple of offices. I said, you ought to see this and just meditate on this. They're like, wow. They're like, who wrote that? I said, I did, but I just pseudonym Todd. But it's excellent. And so what it is, that's an example. There's so many verses about the ocean. And he was down there. And I don't think this will steal the thunder of what you're going to write. But it was so good for me, and it was so powerful that the oceans, they roar, and they praise God. Just crashing continually. Right? But just taking those verses, you were just in Psalms for your own personal Bible study, right? And it happened to be that you were on the beach rubbing it in on me. And it was just good to meditate, to think on. Because vacations are one of those things that you get out of routine. And if you're not careful, your walk in the Spirit will waver. Because you got to understand this. Here's what the devil wants to do. You may have a good routine going down. He wants to mess up your routine to get you off track. You got to be alert with that. So when you go on vacation, or when you get out of your routine. So even Justin's up at college. Justin has such a routine up at college. Do you know where he struggles walking in the Spirit more than any place? When he comes back home. And he and I have talked about that. I don't think he'd mind me telling you that. It's because he had a routine, and he's alert because he's in the cesspool of the devil up at Ohio University, right? So he's alert. He comes home, guard comes down, and then he struggles. And so you've got to understand this. Walking in the Spirit is, it's daily submission, daily focus, daily yielding to the Lord and being dominated with the things of the Lord. You know, I mean, I used to do this when I would drive. I would turn every street sign into a spiritual thought. I've told you that before. You've heard that, right? You know, yield not to temptation. You know, there's a song. And then stop, you know. What sin should I stop, right? It's go. Go ye to all the world, you know. So next time you're traveling with your kids, say, we're going to turn every sign into a spiritual application. It's just try to just be motivated. Now, here's the reality. When we walk in the Spirit, when we are meditating on Christ, the fruits of the Spirit are the outcome. You don't have to manufacture love. It'll be the outcome. I tell people this all the time. And I say, how many times have you walked by an apple tree and heard it grunting? Never. What's an apple tree have to do to have apples? Exist. What's a Christian have to do to have the fruits of a Christian? Exist, or really walk in the Spirit, right? If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us be dominated with the things of God. And so this is the true litmus test. If you're walking in the Spirit, this will be the outcome. When I'm not loving, you know what that means? I'm walking in the flesh. When I don't have joy, you know what that means? I'm not walking in the flesh. Now, you might get hit upside the head with a circumstance that's rough, but I will tell you this, humble yourselves before the Lord and trust in Him, and love will exude, love will come out of that. So let's just see this, how to know if we're walking in the Spirit. Don't try to manufacture these, let this be, and then say, I've got to figure out how to walk in the Spirit. It's just daily, hourly submission to the Lord. And so David and I were just talking about this. You know this is true. It's not about trying harder. How many of you have tried harder and it's failed all your life? I know. I just wish he was like, put another 10 pounds on there, man. I'll go. No, it's not. It's realizing this. I can't do it. But not giving up. See, I can't do it sounds like failure. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So these are the outcomes. Let's just look at this. First thought is, the outcome will be love. I didn't know if I misspelled it. So here's some verses I want to take you to. Let's just, if you allow me to, you can take notes, but I won't have you turn. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says in 1 Thessalonians, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It is in us. It is, the reality is, it should be that we love being with God's people, right? It's one of those things that is just a red flag. If you don't love being with God's people, are you truly one of His? It didn't say you'll love being with God's people because they're so lovely. Now, we should be more Christ-like, but it's an outcome. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, true love, not fake, see that you love one another with your pure heart fervently, passionately, delightfully, loving one another, even in our flaws, right? 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's not the one. It's 4:8. Turn to 1 John 4:8. Typed it wrong. I didn't check my typing. Irritating. First John 4:8 says this. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It is, you know, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. One of the greatest outcomes, one of the greatest evidences is that you will love. And so it is one of the greatest litmus tests and indications. Are you walking in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit overcomes your disposition and you will be loving. That's the result of walking in the Spirit. Second one is joy. I think it'll be okay. John Parrott, his wife Carrie, very, very sick this morning. And John is the one that his father committed suicide. They had the funeral this past Wednesday. And God's just gloriously ministering to John's heart. It's been pretty remarkable. Through some text messages, he's been just, he's thinking better than I've ever seen anybody think in such a tragedy. So the first time John ever came, and Randall was the one that had the first contact with John. First time John ever came, I look at folks, right? There's a family here this morning. I just use this. I say, are you born again? And just see how they react. And just see if they, I can usually tell if they even know what I'm talking about. And so I use that term in particular because I'm trying to see, what do you know? Are you born again? And you know, so then I usually, but I ask him, are you born again? And John looked at me and he said something like this. It still stunned me to this day. I didn't know what to say. And he goes, I don't know how I can be because I don't have the joy of the Lord. What would you say? I was just like, we'll talk. I didn't know what to say. John was honest though, right? I mean, I've since heard his life and he's had a difficult life. But I'm trying to help him get focused on Christ versus the circumstances. I think I've told you 43 surgeries. In his life. He's the guy that told me that, you know, when something good happens in my life, I know something bad's right around the corner that's worse than the good thing that happened. He goes, that's the way my life's gone all my life. That's rough. But his question, his answer was so honest. He understood the gospel. I think John's saved. But I'll tell you this, he had a good reason to doubt whether he's saved or not, right? He said, how can I be when I don't have the joy of the Lord? Just look at a few of these. This is an outcome again. It's an outcome. You can't manufacture joy. It's an outcome. I want you just to look at some of these verses. His presence is joy, okay? Look at Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, I know you guys experience this, and it's not because of Hope Baptist Church. It's just because of the goodness of God. When you come to a church service, your joy increases. I think that's the general outcome. I will trust that that's every church that preaches the true gospel. I really believe that, particularly in the Lord's churches, he's promised that his presence will be here. Where two or three are gathered and he's speaking to his churches, there will he be in the midst of them also. I will tell you, generally, lost people explain that to me. Dakota would tell you before he was saved, he says, when I come here, something's different. Now, he did just tell me this past week. I'm telling you, I only share this to you. I failed Dakota. So Dakota lives up in Urbana. And he's been going to a Baptist church, right? And I never did ask the name of it. You're like, why? And he mentioned the name. I would say that again, this past week. And it is, I forget the name, but whatever the name, Free Will Baptist Church. And I'm like, oh, Dakota. I said, you know, I have failed you as your mentor. I said, you know what the issue of Free Will Baptist churches are? They all believe you can lose your salvation. But I'll tell you this, here's what they'll tell you. No, we believe in eternal security, but a Christian can apostatize and walk away. That's not eternal security. I've read their website. You know what that's called? A false gospel. See, I failed him, and I only share this with you. I failed him. I should have known what it was called. I should have done some more research. And he kind of likes the church, right? And so now, and I said, if it were me. So he's going to do the hard thing. He's going to talk to the pastor. I said, make sure you write down every word that he says, because I said, I know what he's going to say. And so I only tell you that to say it is, Dakota said, that's why I brought Dakota up, because he lost people. Presence of the Lord, and lost people will get joy. Now, some lost people will be terrified and they'll run out of here as well, right? But lost people, they feel the presence of the Lord. That should give us great joy. People give us stories. These things have I written to you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Talking about fruit. So just so you know, I have no greater joy, 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Boy, you know what? I want you to have some babies. And I want you to see them grow and walk in truth and do what's right. I'm telling you, Dakota was so encouraged. We just had some good times. We were going through Romans and the gifts, right? And so Dakota was trying to figure out, what can I do? What can I do? And he tries. He does. I want him to have some Bible studies, first of all. And so he tries. He's trying to have a Bible study with his brother, and he works in construction, you know, just the cesspool of men. And it is, it's rough. It's rough with the opportunity. And so Dakota, the light bulb finally came on. I said, Dakota, what are you good at? And he said, I'm good with my hands. I said, then you need to find some widows to help and just help fix something. And I said, once you are found out that you fix things for free, I said, you'll be in demand and you can serve the Lord. I said, never fix something without you talking to them about the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, Dakota, this may be the open door that you've been looking for all your life. I said, it didn't have to be so spiritual. I said, just connect what you're good at to the spiritual. I said, and so he's so excited. He's so excited that he's just, I wish you lived closer. Well, let me help you, give you a little bit of experience at my house. And but it's this, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And so I just tell you this, it's I love, people that have been saved, I'll stay in touch with them, see how they're doing. And where they're going to church, and ask what the name of the church is, but I do love to hear that, right? I do love to hear that. I know this. So here's what happens. I worry about this. I'm just gonna be open. So I worry about like Kevin and Sarah, because you get less attention than you used to get from me, right? So I'm always just trying to give as much attention as I could. So sometimes that's probably like, I'll give you any attention you need. I love you. I care for you. You're important to me. I pray for you. I hope you know that. And so. I just don't know how to be everywhere at all times, but it's not that you've dropped in importance. You understand that? I'm still responsible for you, and I'll answer for you. And so I love you. And so I've always worried about that. So I just go public with that, right? When I see people that are saved, I care about them. I want to see them grow in the Lord, right? Because he says, therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. That's what Paul said, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. There is joy in people. No, there's heartache in people. You get involved in reaching people, you know, you better remember the joy. Because there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of heartache. And I want you to see this. It's our strength. You guys know this verse, Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to see this. This is what's interesting. Is an outcome of walking in the Spirit is that you'll have love and you'll have joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you know what that would say? Walking in the Spirit is our strength. Walking in the Spirit results in love, joy, and so then the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I want you to grasp this a little bit more. Now the third thing is peace, right? Just look at some verses that I thought I messed up. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, God is the God of peace. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Bible says all the time, God is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. I don't say this often because I don't know if I can always, what can you always say about the Lord? Here's what I can tell you. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. That doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have suffering. You can have peace and suffering. See, peace and suffering can go together. But he wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. If your heart's troubled, just like Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Because he wants peace. You notice whenever he shows up, when he showed up after walking on the water and they thought he was a ghost, he says, peace. Peace. Yeah. I mean, they thought he was a ghost. And so he wants us to have peace. Peace is the absence of worrying or fretting. Look at famous verse, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. I don't know how the J got dropped out there. But be careful for nothing. What that means is don't worry. And so if you want to understand this, if you are caught up in the vortex of worry, it doesn't mean if worry pops up, submit that to the Lord. But if you are just overwhelmed with worry, you know what you're walking in? Flesh. Some of you will have more trouble with worry. Just because you don't worry doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. Some of you are more loving than me. In fact, maybe all of you are more loving than me. I know this. What would the word be? All of you are more nurturing than me. Is that the word? I like got zero nurture. But that doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. You follow me? But I will tell you this, if you are a worrier, it'll be a great indicator if you're walking in the Spirit. If you struggle with just joy, you'll know when you're walking in the Spirit and you're trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord minute by minute and enjoying the Lord. Enjoying the Lord with the chaos all around you. You know, if you struggle being loving and giving and focused on others, then you'll know when you're walking in the Spirit because it will just exude from you. Don't let this message be discouraging. This message to me, if you ask me, I hated preaching that message last week because it was so miserable. 17 negative things about the flesh and such like, right? And so this is just 9. What I love is this. These are 9 litmus tests. Are you walking with God? Are you truly walking in the Spirit? Then this will be the fruit that comes out of it. Peace. And then long-suffering. Long-suffering. Just look at a couple verses here. I love the connections with what we have. Long-suffering, Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generations. Who was it that I just had a Bible study with? Somebody asked me this question about this verse. Nobody? Must not have been here. Okay, well, I'm not going to explain it to you then. But the Lord is long-suffering. I want you to know this. Every one of these attributes, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, they're all attributes of God. If you walk in the Spirit, the attributes of God will exude from you. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, and His children should be too. And all you have to do is submit, humble yourself, walk in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, you'll be long-suffering. So, you know, there's 2 in particular. I think, out of these so far, right, love, and I'm talking, I give of myself, but I lack this. I lack this. I don't know if I make anybody feel love. That's an issue. That's an issue. I know this. When I walk in the Spirit, people will feel more loved by me. And so joy and peace aren't issues with me. I'm generally a happy guy, I think. Am I a happy guy generally? I think you'd have to ask, am I? Because, you know, we're delusional. But long-suffering, I'm not long-suffering. Get a hangnail, God's let me down. I knew it. It's so terrible, right? But I know this. If I'm long-suffering and patience, that is only the outcome of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be able to tell joy and peace better. But you see, you're going to have to understand this. How will you know? How will you know? I mean, Elijah, you're a generally happy guy. I've never seen you not happy, right? And so it's good. I mean, it's one of your greatest attributes, right? You're always happy. You're always ready. But you're going to have to figure out which ones that you're going to have to know whether you're walking with God or not, right? All right, Colossians 1:11. Strengthen with all might according to glorious power and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You see how that's connected? Patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. 2 Timothy 4:2. This is really, I want you to understand this. He's writing this to Timothy, but I still think it's to us. All that preaching means. Okay, let me ask you this. Can you preach? Can you preach? Okay, that's good. All right, that's good. That's good. All it means is to proclaim, to issue forth. So I'm glad. It doesn't mean that, you know, but to be a preacher of the gospel leading people, no. But you should preach and proclaim the truth of God's word, right? So I want you to see this as we try to emphasize desiring to teach people. This is important. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, always be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If you're going to get into the business of teaching people, preaching, proclaiming, issuing forth the word of God, then you better have some long-suffering. And so it is, it's a blessing. And just seeing Lee here, right? His sister-in-law, I think she's supposed to be coming to church next Sunday. That'll just be amazing, right? It'll just be good. And I told you this. You know the question she asked? What do they wear? And so, you know what? I'm just going to trust that God's just going to do a miracle. You know what? Because he loves you. And I think Patty's going to benefit from God's love for you. And he loves her too, but he especially loves you. And you know what? Only God, once you get into so much religion, we can't fix the mind, can we? You guys, if you're sitting across a Roman Catholic sometime or somebody that's just been immersed in false religion, but that's kind of close, you're just sitting there and going, trust in God and be long-suffering, that his word and the Holy Spirit will do what you can't do. Okay, I mean, I deal with some people, and literally, there's some people I deal with that, I mean, I don't even know how to pray. I'll just say, God, only you know what to do. And so just long-suffering with the Lord, all right? Now then, gentleness. I've just got a couple verses for gentleness. I want you to see this. Gentleness, that's an issue for me. Gentleness, right? It is, Elia highlighted that, right? And so I told you all I did for her. You know, she's doing something like, melted, fell apart, cried, and I thought, you got parents that are wimps. That's my first thought, right? My first thought wasn't, you know what I love? I sort of loved it in reflection. She has such a gentle home. Was terrifying to her. And so you know what it taught me? I didn't do that again the rest of the time. I was like, because the longer you spend with her, the more she gets familiar with you, right? And she gets comfortable. It's gentleness. Gentleness. Just be kind. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, talking about Titus, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. We're going to see meekness. So showing meekness unto all men, but gentle. 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 James 3:17 is part of wisdom from above. Wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable. 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 Kind. Gentle. Peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I want you to know this. It's when you begin to see this list. This is a list that you should desire. And God says there's one thing that you do. Abide in Christ. Immerse in Christ. Walk in the Spirit. I think all those are synonymous terms, okay? And maybe some nuances with them. But it is immersing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is who you will be. I would love to be, you know, I mean, my eulogy is not ready to be written yet because they would have to lie. You know, I mean, you're not allowed to use the word gentle. You know, I mean, just not. No one's going to use that word. If they do, boot them. I don't really want them talking about me anyway, but goodness. Just look at a few verses. Oh, that men, look at these verses, goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, goodness will ooze out of us because goodness oozes out of God. Everything about God is good. Everything about God, he can do nothing but good. I will even suggest, even in his wrath, it is good. It may not be good for the person that his wrath is unleashed on, but it's good. You understand that? Goodness is righteousness, but there's also something about beauty as well, but Psalm 144, my goodness and my fortress. Now, I take you here. Who's my goodness there in Psalm 144:2? It's God. Now, I'm going to challenge you here. It appears that they're calling God what? My goodness. And what have we replaced with OMG? Oh, my goodness. I don't say it because of this verse. I'm just challenging you with this. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. I know this. I don't say, oh my gosh. You know, I guess that's better than oh my God, but I'm not sure. But you know what I say? Hit your thumb. You know what you should say? Ouch. That would really declare what happened, and I'm in pain. But it says, my goodness, speaking of the Lord, and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. I do love this. I love that I am more encouraged than I've ever been as a pastor. And I still don't know half of what's going on. You know, this. Here's what I love. I love to hear about it, but I love that there's something good happening, that you're not racing up to me because you're not trying to look good for the pastor, and I love that. So you got to figure out how to do that. I love hearing the stories. I love hearing your involvement with people, and I'm so encouraged. I just I'm going to bring up an example, and so I know this, and so the mentors get two stars today, but I'm taking their reward from the Lord. You know, so that's when I mentioned this. So I love this. Randall and Rachel, they met some lady that was pregnant or had a baby this past Wednesday. Pregnant. What's that? Erica was with her. Yeah. And so you know what I love? Randall was telling me this, and he was just telling me this in the spirit of conversation. And I know this happens all the time. She came back and she said, oh, I want to get her something for her baby. I just want to get her a gift card or something. You know what that is? That's goodness oozing out. And that's not for you. I'm praising the Holy Spirit. You know what? Because goodness ought to ooze out of you if you're walking in the Spirit. And what I love is I love to hear the stories that you all, you're not doing it for me. Don't do it for me. You get no bonus points regardless. I mean, I do it unto the Lord. And you know this? It's just good. Just love people. Just be a blessing to people. You'll open the door for people. You'll just, goodness will ooze out of you, right? That's the result. That's what I love. I'm more encouraged. I'm more encouraged. I want us to dream. I want us to believe in the impossible, that God just might use us to turn Fairfield upside down. And you know what? This building won't hold it. Well, let's plant another church over the way. I don't know. God will provide all that, right? I'm not looking to build a kingdom, but I'm looking to make a difference in our Jerusalem if we can. You just keep, this is the key, walk in the Spirit. Gentleness, goodness, and then faith. I don't have any verses for faith because we've talked about this recently. It's this. This is the issue. Jaden, do you believe that God will actually use you? Are you interested in God using you, and do you believe as a young man that you can make a difference for the kingdom of God? Those are hard things, right? I mean, how old are you? 14. You look older than 14, so if that makes you feel better. I wouldn't have guessed it. I wouldn't have guessed 14. 14. So you're 14 years old. Do you truly believe that God's interested in using you now, or do you think you have to wait till you become an adult? Okay, and then this is just between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you. This is, what are you doing about it? You'll find out if you believe, because you'll do what that woman did this morning. She did what she could. And I know this. I trust you're a Christian. You told me you followed Christ this past summer. He'll use you. It's faith. What'll happen is if we walk in the Spirit, we'll actually believe that. And we'll actually believe that God can help you conquer sins that you've never been able to conquer in all your life. It's submitting to Him, walking in the Spirit, being dominated with the things of God, and just being focused on that. He will give you victory. One of the biggest issues with, I'm telling you, when I talk to most of you behind the scenes, when I talk to my mother, when I talk to my stepdad, they struggle trusting God to use them. Every excuse is a lack of faith. Why you can't do something is a lack of faith. And maybe you can't do some things, right? So I painted a pumpkin last Saturday. Stupid pumpkin, man. $40, they ripped me off, right? But I had to do it for my mom's 80th birthday party, right? So, because I was skipping that dude like nobody's business. I found out for 80th birthday party. So I signed up Pablo Picasso, but I'm never going to be a Picasso, right? So there's some things you can't do. I'm not going to be a painter. I'm not very creative. I'm not very inventive. I'm terrible with my hands. And so it's not going to be like Dakota. He's going to be using his hand. So there's some things you can't do. But when God commands it, you can do it. When God says do it, you can do it. Any excuse is a lack of faith. And here's what I would suggest. We're not walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you'll believe God. He said it, that's enough. Remember the centurion that came to Jesus and he said, "Oh, you don't need to come to my house. You said it, that's good enough to me." And Jesus was like, "Whoa, that is unusual that people just believe what I say." You know, I didn't realize I was the hyperbole preacher until some of you do exactly what I say. And I'm like, "Well, no, I was thinking you would only do half of that." There's some that I'm like, "Whoa, okay." And I'm not used to it. I will tell you this. Here's my reality. 9 out of 10 people that I give advice to, they don't follow it. That's the norm. I actually have repeat offenders. And they come up to me over and over. And they go, "Okay, I know I've never taken your advice before, but I would like your advice again." And I've joked with them. I said, "You know, if I was really thinking well, I would give you the opposite advice that I want you to do, so you do what I want you to do." I said, "But I'm not playing that game." So I said, "Here's what you're going to do. Call me when you decide not to do that." But I try to use the scriptures. It's faith. When God says it, do it. When you read the Bible, you should be looking to learn about God and what He wants you to do. Will you have the faith to do it? Again, walking in the Spirit, you will have the faith to do it. And finally, meekness. I just want to show you a few verses here. Meekness. He says this. Moses, right? So I love Moses because I always view Moses as strong. Now, the man Moses was very meek. Meek is not weak. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So apparently there's a ranking. God said he was number one meek man. And meekness is putting others in front of you. And Moses was top dog in all of Israel. They revered him, but he put the needs of others and the care of others ahead of himself. And he was meek. He was meek. Then look at Matthew 21:5. "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek." Jesus. One of his attributes, one of the descriptions, he was meek. Sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. So he came in humility when he entered into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry. He came on a donkey, and it was humble. He's not coming pridefully the second time, but he's coming in full victory because he has conquered death in the grave. He has conquered sin. He has done all that he wanted to do, and he comes back glorious on a white horse. No donkey the second time. But I will tell you this, our first trip on earth, because I'm coming again for the millennium, I'm planning on it. My first trip on earth, I am to put others ahead of myself. Meekness will be one of my challenges. It's just here too, because I'll tell you this: you can fake meekness, but you have it just anyway. Just wearing it. And then like in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Again, that's consistent with you walk in the Spirit. You'll have meekness, and meekness is an attribute of believers. I will tell you, we ought to have meekness that says this: I will put others ahead of myself. And then finally, temperance. I don't have a verse. I've just got a definition. Self-control, but I love this sub-definition. Listen to this. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Listen to that again, self-control. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. And so I'm just about done. Look at these attributes. I think I would rank love number one, right? What would you rank number two, Randall? Joy, maybe? Maybe the order God gives? What would you rank number three? Peace? Long-suffering? See, God, maybe his order is best, so why don't I try to stop ranking them? Wouldn't you love that to be who you are? It means your life is about Christ, if that's who you are. It means you're walking in the Spirit, if that's who you are. I will tell you, people will be drawn to you if that's who you are. They may disagree with you. Some of them may not like you. But I'll tell you this, we can get along with most people if you're loving, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, gentle, good, have faith, meekness, and temperance. So I want you to understand this. You can't manufacture this. It'll be the reality. An apple tree can't have an orange. An orange tree can't have a banana. You walk in the Spirit, you will have these. Examine your life. I know many of you are so honest. You're unlike most people I deal with, because if I said, how many of you truly love Jesus, there would be few hands go up. I think you do love Jesus. I think you do love Jesus. And just, could you love him better? Sure. And so, I want you to understand this. It is, am I willing to wake up in the morning? David, what's the verse you woke up every morning with, you told me today? Yeah, you die daily. Okay, so sorry. He's like, well, I mean, Genesis 1, in the beginning, you know, it was, he dies daily. It has to be a conscious effort. It has to be a daily submission. What you have to do is every day say, oh, that's right. David's not in charge. Oh, God, help me submit to you where I might walk in the Spirit, and then victory is the result. You see, I am so encouraged. I say this all the time. You know what my new theme is going to be for 2024? Be nice. You know what it ought to be? Walk in the Spirit. That's the theme of every year. And if I walk in the Spirit, my wife's going to think something's up. Because love will be different. Joy will be different. My life will be different. Let's pray. Father,